All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, October 2nd of 2024, and looking ahead here, we had our four-game MLB playoff slate already get underway, so good luck to all of you playing that slate. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there was a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. As a reminder, we do have our build review show going live at 5 p.m. Eastern. Nobody has signed up today, and it is a pretty hard show to do without anybody signing up. So if anybody wants to get their builds reviewed from earlier in this week, whether that be MLB, NFL, Classic, Showdown, you name it, drop your DK username in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server, and I will add you to the queue for today's show. All right, let's get SaberSim up. And we have one question to get us started here from Interrogator. And the question says, on MLB showdowns, are we hurting ourselves if we filter out all lineups below 0% ROI? I would say no. You know, in general, I think this is a fine thing to do, basically no matter what. You know, we talk about most of our filters being in the 10 to 20% range for like lineups that you're putting in the trash. But with ROI greater than zero, you know, I think this is one where that is like the exception to the rule, where, you know, if ROI greater than zero is trashing half your lineups, I would roll with that just because, you know, 100K slate sample size is very good, right? And if your lineups are grading out badly over that big of a sample size, they're probably not good lineups to play in the long run. And I think that you can feel comfortable trashing those lineups and knowing that, you know, it is okay not to play these. But this leads us to a good opportunity to talk about like single game MLB as we get into the playoffs here, as these start times are like very, very spread out. So no other questions today. I thought it'd be a good time to come in here and talk a little bit MLB showdown strategy. So with showdown, you know, I'm basically going to walk through this as if I was playing the slate and basically talk about what I would do here. But before we do that, Daniel said, give ideas on how to flashback filters and roughly how to gauge them without being results oriented. If you could let me know what you mean by like flashback filters specifically, that would be great. Because, you know, we do like our flashback show every day. That's the build review show at 5 p.m. Eastern. And, you know, we walk through like how to analyze your lineups, how to interpret things, how to make changes. So maybe you're looking for something along those lines. But if you're looking for something else a little bit more specific, let me know. So I'm going to stick with this showdown. So first thing I'm going to do, right, check weather. I just have this like bookmarked here, the Roto Grinders weather report. And nothing for this Atlanta-San Diego game, so nothing to worry about here. Second thing I like to do for showdowns, right? These are all free resources, by the way, is rotowire.com has a bullpen usage page where you can come in here and you can see who's thrown recently, right? So this is a good opportunity to do some additional research. So looking here, I would be surprised to see Aaron Bummer, Jesse Chavez, maybe even Luke Jackson pitch today, right? Just based off of how many pitches they threw yesterday, you know, possibly Hernandez, like probably won't see him either. So then what I could do here, right? I go to the Braves, I go to utility, and then I can right click on position and go down to relief pitchers and starting pitchers, just group them together. And I can see, hey, you know, who is likely to pitch today? And we just said that, you know, we're trying to stay away from like Bummer Chavez Jackson. And Chavez is the highest projected relief pitcher for Atlanta. this is a good opportunity to come in here and be like, hey, I'm actually going to change this, right? So we don't see Bummer. We don't see Hernandez. Those look good, right? Maybe we want to stay away from him too, right? So if you add this up, like this is 3.05 points that we think is going to be used differently, right? So that's pretty important. Now, aside from that, the hard thing to figure out is like, okay, well, where are those points going to go, right? So then there's like another free resource I'll use, the Fangraphs like depth chart for like pitchers. So I can come in here and I can go down to Atlanta. And they kind of have something similar. All right, I think I'm back. So unfortunately, that Fangraphs page is like pretty memory intensive. So when I pulled it up, it was like killing my CPU here. But basically, I would use that to be like, okay, you know, is Chavez a long reliever? You know, is Jackson a setup man? How are these guys being used? And who are the additional options in that same category? And then I would, you know, go through here and basically redistribute these points, right? So like say 0 for Jackson, 0 for Chavez. And then, you know, maybe Pierce Johnson is similar in a similar role as Jesse Chavez. Well, like, okay, you know, I had those additional points. Maybe I give, you know, 1 point to Pierce, like one extra point. So that takes him up to 2.51. Maybe Dylan Lee, you know, he's in a similar role. So then he gets like 1.64. And then maybe Joe Jimenez is like another setup man and Luke Jackson's a setup man. So I'm going to give those additional points to him, right? And maybe I just give him 1 point. So now I've taken, you know, even though this is a small amount of points, this could still matter in MLB Showdown. So I would basically do that process for both teams. And then once I'm happy with that, I'm not going to set any filters, rules, anything like that. I'm going to lower minimum salaries because I like to do that. And then I would normally build 2,000 lineups. I'm only going to build 200 for this example. But yeah, I mean, that's some like pre-slate research you can do because the builder by itself is not taking into account. Well, let me say this. It's not taking into account exactly who threw yesterday and exactly how many pitches they threw. So it has some guardrails, but it doesn't have enough, or it's not as specific as you can be if you go in and manually mess with it yourself. So now I'm going to set up a custom contest sim here. Go back to my build now that the lineups have run. Click run contest sim. And while this runs, I'm going to move some stuff around. All right, just waiting for the contest sim to finish. So now we're in the post build, right? What I like to do is set up a couple aggregate metrics. So I like to use average projection, average contest sim ROI. Because I set up a custom contest sim, I can't use target ROI. That's what Sam and I were talking about yesterday. So now I'm about ready to dive in here. You know, what I'm looking at are like some of the leverages that I have and making sure that like I'm okay with them. You know, so like we're using a lot of pitchers from both teams here on both sides of the leverage spectrum. Other than that, we're not getting to like a ton of batters. You know, Jorge Soler double his ownership. Aside from that, we're not seeing like a lot more. We're seeing a lot of Jason Adam. So I think it would be like okay to lower him. You could mess around with mini uniques if you want to. If you want to up it from 1 to 2, as long as you're not sacrificing too much projection ROI to get there, I think it's okay. So that's something you can alter if you want to. And then you can see how far down in your pool it takes you to get there, right? So we dropped 3 lineups. I don't think that's a big deal. But here, right, it's fine-tune adjustments at this point. It's making sure that the lineup set is yours and you're comfortable with it. And then you'd be ready to submit these lineups. So that's how I would be building lineups for MLB Showdown heading into the postseason here. All right. Circling back to Daniel's question from earlier. Daniel said, like going through past slates and trying to run filters to try and pull better results to the top. I guess I'm more so trying to figure out how to use ROI and another metric to pull better lineups to the top without losing too much ROI by going by just projection. Yeah, I think post slate analysis is very good. That's why we have a whole show dedicated to it. But what I wouldn't be doing is be like, okay, you know, this is the winning lineup and it was a QB plus 3. So then if I go in here and I set QB plus 3 as like a rule, then like I'm moving closer to that. Well, that was a winning lineup for one contest, 1 week, right? And it might not have been a winning lineup for a different contest or might not hold true next week, right? Like slate dynamics, slate context changes week to week. I think that you can get a lot of useful things from studying flashback, but trying to mimic winning lineups is probably not what I would be trying to do. I think that you could go in and like study winning players as well. And like, hey, you know, Shady Advice is playing, you know, 80% of this type of stack across the last 4 main slates in, you know, the Millie Maker. Like maybe that's something good to catch on to. Like if this was, you know, 2017 DFS, and you saw that, like, hey, you know, Papa Gates is 5 stacking every single MLB lineup. I don't know why, but like, I'm okay. Like, you know, this guy is a major winning player. You know, I'm gonna just do that, what he's doing. I don't think that's like a bad thing to do, right? You don't know his exact reasoning, but like, this is a top player, and you know, you're taking like a model, mimic, and master approach. And I don't think that's bad, right? Model, mimic, and master is in general good. But what if like that QB plus 3 is part of somebody's 150 set and they only played that in like 10% of their lineups? Well, then now you're like kind of reading into the situation wrong, right? So I think it's better to study users and users that are grading out well, as opposed to try and figure out what filters and rules to set to get to the last week's winning lineup, if that makes sense. All right. Sam said, if you're looking to get aggressive with ownership, what are some effective ways to filter out unconventional or low probability plays in both Showdown and Classic slates? So if you're looking to get aggressive with ownership, to me, that reads as I want to get different from the field. But then the second part of the question kind of reads the opposite by saying, what are some effective ways to filter out unconventional or low probability plays? So when I read filter out, I read like put those lineups in the trash. So it's like on one hand, I'm trying to get aggressive with ownership by being different. But then on the other hand, I'm trying to also filter out unconventional low probability plays. But those things are usually kind of the same, right? Because the field is not dumb. They know like where the best plays are. That's why those plays get ownership, etc. Low ownership plays and low probability plays are kind of one in the same. So there are a couple different ways to think about this, right? Well, lineups that are projected higher are generally have a higher probability of achieving that because that is the average outcome, right? So not playing top projected plays is one way to do it, right? This kind of goes back to like Saber score and like the Saber score formula is, hey, you know, we want to zone in on lineups that have a decent floor. The some projection is their floor, but we don't want that to be the all grading factor here. We care about 99th percentile, the lineup's highest, 1% outcomes that it achieves, because we know we need those ones to win our contest. So this negative weight on ownership is basically saying we do not want to play lineups that are graded or that have a high sum ownership or have high adjusted ownership, which is related to sum ownership. And it's those plays, it's this variable that's helping us to get to lower owned plays in our set. So kind of what you're describing is like kind of the problem that we try to solve with SaberScore, and ROI does this too, right? If you have contest sims, basically it's figuring out what plays in the, what lineups in the contest sim grade out well over a bigger sample, where they might not grade out well on average, but maybe because of their ownership, maybe because of their lineup percentile in the contest sims, right? They got to be having high outcomes to score high in the payout structure. They end up being good plays. So yeah, I mean, what you're thinking about is the right thing. And this is exactly how we try and figure that out. But what you're talking about are like low owned plays, lower projected plays than like the highest projected, and trying to find some type of balance between those. So hope that helps, kind of letting you know, like we're trying to solve that problem for you too. All right. Check in the Discord again here. No additional questions, and we've already done a little bit of a slate demo here. So I think we're going to call it there. Reminder, we have our build review show going live in about 40 minutes here. Nobody has signed up yet. So if anybody wants to sign up for today's show, all you got to do is drop your DK username in the Office Hours channel in our Discord. Got another follow-up from Sam. I'm trying to be as aggressive as possible with ownership, but not to the point where my lineups have no realistic chance of winning, but it appears we are just back to SaberScore. You could try geo mean, right? If you want to go in here and do a geometric mean formula to be super aggressive with the number of dupes that you're aiming for, that's a good way to do it, right? You can filter out high sum own lineups. There's a couple different ways to do that, right? So in my opinion, the best way I would do it is going and creating a custom metric that is geo mean formula like this, and then filtering out these lineups and then saying, hey, I want to use a filter where geo mean is less than X, right? And this product ownership is going to help you to get to lineups that are less likely to be played, right? Because multiplying player ownerships together is different than adding player ownerships together. And we have a whole, tutorial on how to do that, on how all that math works in our help docs. But it sounds like this is probably something that you're looking for a little bit more, is something like this. And I'll just drop this here in the YouTube chat. So this geometric mean article that we have, but I would check that out. If you're not using it already, I think that could be a good way to use it, but hope that helps. So with that said, I'll see you all in about 40 minutes here. So until then, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.